It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. Las Cruces area resident Delano Lewis is a former ambassador to South Africa and served as president of NPR. He also worked for the Peace Corps and had a long career as an executive with the phone company serving Washington, D.C. He recently spoke with Fred Martino about his new book, No Condition is Permanent.
Once now, I know I could do government work, law, and administrative, but I didn't have any sense that I was a business person. And what about this telephone company? And that offer came to me because pre-home rule, before there was home rule, an elected mayor, an elected city council, or anything like that, if you had a business in the district, you had to go to Capitol Hill to go to the House District Committee because they controlled it. It was a federal city. There was no local government. So the telephone company, being it was called the Chesapeake and Potomac Telephone Company, was the largest private employer in the region. And the vice president and the assistant vice president for public affairs had an idea, had a vision. They said, well, suppose home rule comes to the district. Suppose there's an elected mayor and an elected city council. There's going to be a regulatory body. And so we don't have to go to the district committee. We'll have to talk about our rate increases to a local regulatory body. So we need to bring someone into the company that has political experience, has a legal background, that can position us if home rule comes to the city. And so with assistant vice president would come up to Capitol Hill, and his name was Charles Weichel, and he took me to lunch and asked me if I might be interested in coming to work in public affairs at CNP Telephone Company. And that's how that started.
Okay. What would you say was the most difficult thing working in public affairs? 2 decades. It's a long time.
Well, I moved not only in public affairs. They treated me very well in that 21 years. Within 3 years, I became an assistant vice president, so I was in charge of regulatory matters, and I worked with the lawyers on rate cases before the Regulatory Commission. And again, the president and the vice president's vision for the telephone company did come about. There was home rule bill passed. There was an elected mayor and a city council, and there was a regulatory body. So public affairs dealt with the outreach to not only the community that we serve, but to the government entity and the regulatory commission. So the toughest job probably was going to the commission and asking for rate relief. In other words, you're increasing the rates for telephone service. That was probably the most difficult one. And then trying to explain that to your customers. So that was probably the toughest.
The hardest. And what was the most fun? What did you enjoy the most?
The most fun, I must say, was that they allowed executives, they meaning the management of the company, encouraged executives to get involved in the community. That was across, that was part of the old AT&T system, American Telephone and Telegraph. We were one of the subsidiaries of that system. And they encouraged their managers to get involved. So I was involved in not-for-profits groups. I was involved with arts groups. I was involved with community groups and business groups. So that was the fun part of the job, not only learning business, but being involved in the D.C. community.
That's great. Certainly something many of us here at KRW value as well, that we have a chance to participate deeply in the community, not just covering the community, but being involved in various community groups. For you, though, this went a step further. When you worked for the telephone company, you actually ran for the D.C. City Council. You did very well, but didn't quite get elected. You lost the election. You considered running again, but you decided against it when your wife, Gail, said that basically you'd have to do that as a single man.
She was very explicit.
Yes. Tell me about your attraction, though, for politics. This wasn't the beginning, obviously. You had worked for politicians, and then you were running for office. And tell me about that attraction for possibly, at that time, becoming an elected official.
Yes, I think in my life I'd always been attracted to politics. I always, in high school, I was involved with the student council. I was president of student council and vice president of my class in 1955, and I graduated in 56. Went off to University of Kansas and pledged a fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, and I became president of that chapter of the fraternity. So I was always involved in leadership roles and always felt that looking at government, because I was in political science, that politics politics, you could make change. Not only elected politics, but working in the political system, understanding government, you could make change in laws and you can make things happen. So I always had that attraction to politics. So I didn't know I was going to be a candidate, but when that Home Rule Bill was passed and there were elected seats for at-large seats and ward seats, I decided to run for one of the four at-large seats. But only two could belong to the Democratic Party. They reserved two other seats for the Independent Party, Republican, or statehood. So there were nine of us running in a Democratic primary for two seats. Marion Barry came in way ahead of the pack. He had great name recognition, and I was back and forth for that second seat with Reverend Douglas Moore, who also had more name recognition than I did. I had a good organization. I'd raised money. I think people were understanding my issues, but I didn't have the name recognition, and I ran a close third in that election. So by a few thousand votes, I lost.
You can watch the entire interview with Delano Lewis on the Newsmakers page in the local TV section at krwg.org.